Father, we pray that we would just have an understanding of them this morning, Lord, and that we would apply them right to our lives and see what we need to change in our lives to better walk with Thee. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, so last week, we finished off in verse 11 of chapter 2. We'll go ahead and read verses 4 through 11 one more time, and we'll just have a brief review, and then we'll get into the next few verses. The Bible says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye had heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." And so, again, last week we finished off in verse 11 and of chapter 2, and just a quick review here of what we went through last week. First of all, that John and the Holy Ghost is talking to my little children. Okay, verse 4, verse 1 of chapter 2, my little children, okay? And they could be John's converts, but they're definitely the converts of the Holy Spirit, folks. They're definitely that. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise," and we know who's winning the souls through us, right? It's the Word of God, the Spirit of God, okay? Now, there are going to be some people that say they know Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe that they're going to say that, then you haven't done much knocking on the doors. And you haven't done much witnessing to people out in the world. Because you hear it all the time. "I know Jesus. I know Jesus." And folks, there's one thing. It's one thing to know about Jesus Christ. It's another thing to know him, okay? And to truly know Jesus Christ in such a way that you're never called a liar when you say that you know him is to keep his commandments. And we went through the two commandments that anybody that says that they know him have to keep. And that's one, repentance towards God. Jesus Christ said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." But not only that, but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And John tells you that a little bit later in verse 24 of chapter 3. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us," okay? And verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ." Okay? That's a commandment. If you want to know Jesus Christ and be able to say that you know Jesus Christ without ever being called a liar, you have to keep those two commandments, folks. You have to have kept them. You have to have had repentance toward God, and you have to have had faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way around that, okay? And so, Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish," Luke 13:5. It's a command that everybody repent, Acts 17:30. We can look that up if you like. He says it right there. Acts 17:30. Acts 17:30. The Bible says, And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, folks, that command is concerning the Jew and the Gentile. That's everybody. Okay? The two groups of people that the God in heaven recognizes is Gentiles and Jews. There aren't any other. There are two. Okay? Not only that, but Paul, he taught this publicly, and he taught this privately. And I think that's found in Acts 20. Acts 20:20. And the Bible says, "And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but has showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus." Commands. Those are commands. They have to be kept, or you're not saved. You're not saved. You only have to keep them once, but you have to keep them, right? Because you got internal security. Once you've kept that first one, and you've kept that second one, you have eternal security, okay? And so, but that's the business Paul is talking about. He didn't teach one thing. Paul didn't teach one thing in private, and then teach another thing in public and on the pulpit, like preachers today do. They say, "Well, we believe in the King James Bible, and that's the best translation." They say that on the pulpit to prevent an uproar of the people. That's why they do that, folks, because people would walk out on them, and they wouldn't have any more income coming into that church. But privately, in the schoolrooms, back where the parents aren't sitting, they teach the youngins, "Oh, it's just a good translation. That's all that it is," right? And that's what they do. Paul didn't do that. He taught them what he taught in public. He taught in private as well. And as you study your Bible, there's going to be two things that you're going to find that's going to cause a person to perish. The first is not repenting. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that, Luke 13. Okay, and the other is not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, and so when a person says that they know Jesus Christ and they don't believe that he is God, I'm sorry, folks, but that person, there's evidence there that person is not saved and they do not know Jesus Christ and they are liars. And we all know what happens to liars in Revelations, right? So Revelations 21:8, they have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. Christians can't be called liars. Believers cannot be called liars, because otherwise they would be able to go into the lake of fire, and we know that that's not so. And so moving on, you have to keep his word, and you have to have repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at, if you would, in verse 5, 1 John verse 5, or 1 John 2 verse 5. 1 John, where am I at here? Two verse five, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Okay, and you know how you know that you know him? You keep his word. Those two commandments that he told you to keep, you've kept them, right? That's how you know that you're in him. And the love of God, what love is this? The love of God that he sent his Son to die for all man's sins is perfected in those that believe in Jesus. And the only ones that can believe in Jesus are those that have had repentance toward God. They don't get the gospel unless they've had that repentance. And that's how you know that you're in him. You've kept those two commands. He said it. Right? Now, where do you abide? As a Christian, if you're saved, where do you abide? Look, if you would. Verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Okay, you're saved. You've kept those first two commands. You know that you're in him. Now, where are you abiding? Right? What's the definition of abide here? He that saith, you're speaking with your mouth here, or your heart, you're telling yourself, you're abiding in Jesus Christ. Really? Really? Okay, well, how is your walk? Are you walking in him? Are you walking in the Spirit? See, there's a difference there between knowing where you are doctrinally and where you're walking, who you're abiding in as you walk through this life. There's a big difference there, folks. Big difference. And so, are you abiding in the light? Are you abiding in Jesus? Who is God? Where there is no darkness at all? 1 John 1:5? Or are you abiding in darkness? You can't abide in both. You can't walk in Jesus and walk in darkness at the same time, folks. Can't walk in the Spirit and walk after the flesh at the same time. It doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. And so, if you open up your mouth and you tell people that you abide in Christ and you live like the devil, is anybody going to believe you? No. Nobody's going to believe you. And you shouldn't believe yourself that either, because John is writing to you, hey, if you're saying this, why aren't you walking that way, right? And so, how did Jesus Christ walk? He walked in a way that his life was given for others. That's how he walked. He walked through life, and he was helping people out. He walked through life healing people. Teaching people. He didn't want them to die. He told them what to do not to. And people didn't believe him. He raised the dead. He don't want people to die. He wants people to live. And so he not only gave his life to his Father, but he gave his life for the sins of the world. Right? He gave his life for his Father. His Father wanted him to do something. And so he did it. But in the process, he gave his life for others. Others. And he gave up his virtue to others. And at the end of his life, he gave up his physical life for others. Right? And when he's on the cross, he gave up his life. And how are we to walk? Well, we're to walk that way. And folks, it's hard. The Bible sometimes is hard to follow. It is. It's hard to give up our life for people that don't love us and that hate our guts. But Jesus Christ did. The Bible says that the world hated him. And we'll see that here in a little bit. But he gave his life for others. And so others could live. Are we walking that way? I can't put my hand up. I can't. Do I do that all the time? No. Should I? Yes. Is it sin? Yes. We need to confess it and try to live that way, folks. But I'm talking, when I say you here, I'm looking at the big mirror there, and I see me. Right? You have to... how do you preach any other way? You have to teach or preach that way. You got to teach to yourself and preach to yourself, or you're never going to learn anything either, right? So, but I'm speaking to everybody here. If you're saved, we're told in Galatians 5 to walk in the Spirit. That's how we abide in him. There's a part of you right now that can do nothing without your approval. That's your flesh. You've been given power if you're saved. And your flesh can't do anything on its own, folks. It has to have some authority behind it. It has to have the real you saying, oh, okay, we can do that. Right? That's the one part of you that's making that choice. To either go the way the Spirit wants you to go or the way the flesh wants you to go. The flesh always wants you to go the wrong way. Never wants you to go the right way. The Spirit always wants you to go the right way and never the wrong way. So what are we doing? But it can do nothing. The same you that will be redeemed either at death or when Christ returns is the same you that chose to repent and believe when you heard the commands to do so. And it's the same you, after you've repented and believed, to choose not to walk in the Spirit or to walk after the flesh, right? And so, where are you walking? Is it in darkness? Well, then you've chosen to go that way because you've been given power to go the other way. And that's what the Bible says. Where you're abiding is where you walk, folks. And if you're walking in darkness, you're going to stumble. But that's what the Bible says. It says you're going to stumble. If you have put God's words on the shelf, my friend, you're going to fall. It's going to happen. It may not happen this day. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen a week from now. But the longer the Word of God stays on the shelf, the closer you are to a great fall. And why? Because it's the Word of God that lights your path. And if you don't have light, you're going to trip over things. How many of you got up in the middle of the night and there's no light on and you're tripping over the dog? Or you're stepping in something that makes you slip, right? That the dog left behind because you didn't get up in time, right? You're going to fall. You may not fall out of salvation, folks, because once you're saved, you're always saved. But you can fall out of fellowship with God. And that's what the book is about here, fellowship and joy. And if you don't want to have joy, put the book on the shelf. If you want to fall out of fellowship with your Father in heaven, put the book on the shelf. And it'll happen. You just give it some time. Right? It's going to happen. And what do you really want to do? Right? Do you want to get to the point where God the Father is chastising you so that you'll come back? Or do you want to just stay there and avoid all the hassle? Right? It's easier to do it that way. But it's, you know, if you don't do it that way, then you got to do it the hard way. I don't know if you guys ever know the guy, a Bad Barda. I don't know if you've ever heard of that guy. He was like a game fisherman and a hunter, and he always wanted to do things the hard way. Well, now he's really got to do things the hard way because he's got some spinal thing and he can't move. And he can't do anything that he wanted, right? So now he's got to try to figure out how does he do this stuff when he can't move his arms and he can't move his legs. Well, he's not on TV anymore because he couldn't figure it out, right? But, I mean, I love that. I love watching him fish for tuna the hard way and go after deer the hard way and bears and stuff like that. And, man, he did it the hard way. But he did succeed at a lot of that stuff. But if you want to get chastised and do things and walk this Christian life the hard way, shelf it, right? But one way for you to know that you're not walking is the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, is that do you care enough for others? And that's why he goes into that. That's why he talks about that. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother. What's the opposite of hate? Love. Right? Love. If you don't love your brother, and we went through last week, who's your brother? Who's your neighbor? Who's your brother? Who's others? That's who your brother is. Your brother is anybody that you come across. And when you think about it in a way where, who do we all come from? We come from Adam and Eve. Everybody's your brother, And so even if you're saved, you still got, you know, you still got that old man there. Am I right? And even though you're a new creature, your old man's still there. And that we need to think about that. But one way for you to know, neglect others. Don't give anybody the time of day. Don't give up part of your life for them. Don't tell them about Jesus Christ. Don't do anything to your neighbor. And that's one of the sure ways that you know that you're not abiding in Jesus Christ. You're not walking the way he walked, right? And that's what the Bible's telling us here. When you start to love others, you start walking in the Spirit. And how do you know this? Because the first fruit of the Spirit, that you're walking in the Spirit, love. And we went through that last week. Love. Loving others is the first evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:20. Moving on. Verse 12. The Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Now, John he's going to address the same, a little bit more than the same people, but it's the same people, saved people, okay? And he's going to address saved people at different stages of their spiritual growth in life, different stages. Obviously, this is what he's talking about. It's a spiritual progressive in a saved person's life. And you know this because some of our fathers were not saved until they were 40 and 45. Right? We could have been saved in grade school. But some of our dads didn't get saved till later on in life. And you could be saved in your 60s. And you know what you're called in the Bible? A babe. That's God. God looks at things way differently than we do. And you have to grow out of that baby stage into a little child. And it could be at any time in a person's physical life. Where you start out in your spiritual life, you start out as a baby. I don't care how old you are, okay? And that's the Bible, folks. If you're saved, we are all children of God. No matter what your physical age is. And we went through last week, I think it was, through the seven stages of a Christian spiritual life, or it was the week before. But you start out as a babe, 1 Corinthians 3, then you grow up into a little child, right here in 1 John. And that's who John starts addressing, little children. Then you grow up into a child, Galatians 3, and then young men here in 1 John 2, and fathers, 1 John 2, and elders, 1 Peter 5. Now, it doesn't look like he's talking to elders here. And it doesn't look like he's talking to the aged. That's found in Philemon. Why? Maybe because they're at a stage in their life, they don't care about what he's getting ready to talk about, which is the world. And folks, when you get to a certain point in your physical life, do you really care about the world anymore? Right? Same thing in your spiritual life. You don't care. I told myself a long time ago, self, you're not going to get one gray hair on these jobs. one hand for you, one hand for the job. You can't give everything to them people. You'll kill yourself. You'll kill yourself. And you gotta if you can't take care of your own self, you're not going to be able to take care of the things of others. Right? So there's got to be a balance there. But you don't care. And when you get to a point in your spiritual life and your spiritual growth in Christ, you're going to say, I really don't care about the world. And so he's not addressing those people, folks. He's not addressing. He's addressing children, little children, and he's addressing young men and fathers. That's what he's talking to, who he's talking to. Now, the reason why he's addressing these four groups of people is because they're going to be susceptible to the world system at these stages in their life. And it looks like that, again, once you're an elder and once you're an aged, it's not going to affect you. The world's not going to affect you anymore. But all little children in Christ, he wants you to know, all of their sins are forgiven. If you're a child of God, All the sins that you did in the past are forgiven. All the sins you're doing at the time that he's talking to you are forgiven, right? All the sins you're ever going to do are forgiven in the future. And so the sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven, folks, to those that believe on Jesus Christ. Why? For his name's sake. Their sins have been forgiven by God the Father. And not only that, but they have known God the Father. Little children have known God the Father. The Bible says so. 1 John 2, let's see, where is it at? I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him. That is, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong in the word of God. Okay, verse 13, I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. So not only is a little child's sins forgiven, but they know the Father. Why? How? Because they know Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ, you know the Father. Look, if you would, in John 14:9. And this may be the proper verse for this. There may be a better one, but I was looking for it this morning and I couldn't find it. 14:9. The Bible says, the same heard Paul speak. Oh, no. That's John. John 14:9. I was in Acts. Sorry about that. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? If you know Jesus Christ, guess who else you know? The Father. You know the Father. And not only does little children know the Father, so do fathers, folks. Why? Because they were little children once. Right? So were young men. So they all get grouped in the same thing. But young men have a little bit of different spirituality than little children. And maybe some fathers, hey, you could be a father by just telling somebody about Jesus and you not know anything. But when you're a young man, you know some things about the Scripture, and the Word of God is abiding in you. And you're abiding in the Word of God. 1 John 2. Let's look and read that. 1 John 2. Let's see where we're at here. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You know what the wicked one wants to do with the word of God? Steal it right out of your heart. That's what he wants to do. And he doesn't care how he does it. He may not attack you by himself, but anything that's attached to him and his kingdom is coming at you to steal the word of God. And he's going to get credit for that. If you let them get it. Look, if you would, in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 19. Matthew 13, verse 19. We all know this verse. The Bible says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. You want to be a young man? I mean, do we really want to be this young man that gets the word of God stolen from him? Or do you want to be a young man that John talks about who you're abiding in the word of God, right? And the wicked one, you're overcoming him. His desire is to steal that word from you. The young man's desire is to understand it and hold on to it and abide in it. Get your heart right and get the word of God in you and apply your heart to understanding. And guess what? The word of God will be in you and you'll be strong and you'll be a young man and you'll overcome the wicked one's desire to steal the word of God from your heart. Why does he want to steal the word of God from your heart? So that you don't please the Lord? So that you walk after the world, which is coming up? Proverbs 2. I think it's 2. Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs 2:11. Sometimes I write down the wrong verse. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures. Verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. How, why? How? To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. You want to be delivered from the wicked one? His devices? Abide in the word of God. That's the Bible way, folks. It's the only way. And you know what? Let the word of God bear fruit in your life. It's going to bear fruit. Much fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But only if you're a young man and you're strong and you're abiding in the word of God. That's when the fruit will be revealed. Verse 14 of 1 John chapter 2. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now we're just going to go through the first part of this verse. There's a second part we'll go through next week. The Bible says, love not the world. Now folks, think about this for a moment. This has to be talking about everything but people. Because what did he just tell us? He told us to love our brother, not to hate him. Or is your brother in the world? Yeah. Apparently, he's not a thing. He's a life. But the Bible says, love not the world. So this has to be talking about everything but people, because we've already been told to love others and to love your neighbor and to love your brother. Not only that, but the Bible says that God so loved the world, right? And the world is defined in that same verse in John 3:16 as whosoever. That's what it's defined as. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's defined as whosoever. The world is defined as people in the Bible. Right? Not only that, but there's further proof that the world could be referred to as people found in John 15, John 15, 18. And this is where studying our Bible comes in. I mean, we have to study these words because they're used at different times in different with different meanings and different definitions. And if we say, well, the world is just everything and all the people included, then guess what? We just justified ourselves not to do anything for anybody else. And that's not the Bible way. John 15, and if you want to justify yourself, God gives you a way to do that. Isn't that amazing how he does that? If you want to read into something more than what something is, he'll let you do it. And he'll give you the desire of your heart. John 15, what did I say? John 15, 18. The Bible says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Folks, the Bible says that the rocks would cry out for joy if the people didn't. Do you really think that the rocks hate Jesus Christ? Do you really think that the ground hate Jesus? The grounds hate Jesus Christ? The dirt? The trees? Everything praises Jesus Christ except angels and human beings. I mean, I'm not saying all angels don't praise him, but those are the two beings that don't want to praise Jesus Christ. things like that. And so the world in the Bible could be defined as people. And then there's this world system. The world can be defined as a system, and which there is a God over, right? The Bible says there's a God over this system who is blinding the minds of them that believe not. 2 Corinthians 4:3. Let's look there real quick. And I know we're getting close, but I got a little bit of time. Well, I can't. How can I miss that big clock? I can't make this excuse. I can't see the little hands anymore. 2 Corinthians 4. It's hard to see the hands. I don't know what time it is. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3. The Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world, he's not the God over me. I got a God in heaven. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's not my God. So it can't be talking about people, folks. Can't be. Whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. People. Not the world. People. So in this particular passage, it's talking about a system in which the devil is in charge of. And folks, we know that this system is not the dirt and is not the ground. It's the system that he's put in place to keep you from Jesus. And if you're saved, to keep you from walking in the Spirit. That's the system. And it's not only that system, but it's the dirt in the air too. It goes along right along with it, because guess what? We're commanded not to love the world. You know, the dirt, the air, we know that's going to pass away. The Bible says it's going to pass away. But so is the system that the devil is in charge of. That is going to pass away too. And there's a point in time where Jesus Christ is going to take the kingdoms of this world, and he's going to rule and reign forever and ever. The Bible says. The Bible says that, folks. And so we're commanded not to love the world, not to love the world. If you're a Christian, not to love the world. And people don't apply to that world. People are going to live somewhere forever. Where are they going to live? If we don't tell them. Right? They're going to live in hell. Or the lake of fire. The end of that. And if we hate the world, we can't talk to the people. We have to just be with God. We can't talk to the people. And we can't tell them about Jesus. No. We're not to hate people, folks. It's the world. And you know what pure religion is defined as in the Bible? It's defined as it's loving others enough to not to talk bad about them. That's what it's defined as. Look, if you would, in James. Hebrews James. And we're almost done. I got 1 minute. James 1:26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, his man's religion is vain. It's vain. Pure religion is this, folks, and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, help others, love others, give up your life for others, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We're to help other people and not love the world. Isn't that something? And not love the world. And so everything of this world system is of the devil. It is. And it's against God. And the job of that system is to prevent you from living right if you're saved. If you're not saved, it's to prevent you from ever receiving the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says. And so once you're saved, you're never again going to fit into that system, folks. No matter how hard you try, it'll never happen. Never. You know what it says in John 6, 66 through 69? It talks about Jesus, he's asking the disciples a question. Will you also leave me? He just got done saying a hard saying, a hard teaching. And he asks his disciples, are you going to leave me too? You know what Peter says? To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And folks, why not get something from somebody who's going to live forever? You're not going to get it for something that's going to pass away. And that's the world and the system that it's under right now. Jesus Christ is going to take over that system. And that system that Christ takes over, the kingdoms that he takes over, he's going to put into place a new system. And that is the system that's going to last forever and ever. This system that we live under today will pass away, the same with the earth, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Don't go after the world. It's meaningless. It's all going to go bye-bye. And when you become aged and you become an elder in your spiritual life, you're going to see the world is just a waste of time. It really is. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would just have the understanding to overcome the wicked one and to grow into an elder and the aged and not have any care for this world that's going to pass away. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.